I am going to take a little bit of a different approach than in the past. I'm just going to leave the... how did you say you lean on this? It feels like it's going...
A little bit on shaky because it's a portable one.
I don't think I will lean on it. You're taller. You lean down on it. I lean forward.
You are a young pup. You need excuse to bend over. You just stand up there straight like you're supposed to.
Glad I've got you fooled. So I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm not going to, I guess, quote unquote, preach. I'm just going to kind of share, you know, because I really still feel like I'm, you know, drinking milk a lot too still. So I'm taking in the teaching.
There you go.
I don't really feel, and I know Charlie's probably going to criticize me for this, that I don't feel qualified to be teaching because I'm still drinking from the fire hydrant still. But I know what you're going to say. It's just me saying that.
Hey, if Sam can be qualified to drive, you can be qualified to teach.
Right. Well, there's that. But I guess if you were going to kind of give a title or a theme to what I wanted to share about, is what does it mean to live in the kingdom? You know, Ted's sharing this weekend about a list of obstacles that, you know, must be overcome before Christendom will, you know, become the head versus the tail that it is right now. And I'm not sure how long that list is, but so far he's mentioned, you know, first off, demographics. And I didn't ask him. I didn't really catch. I think he went through it really quick, but I can only kind of assume he's probably referring to, you know, the issue of racial integration in our lands. I could be wrong on that, but I'm getting a head shake. So
not
I'm
just the
that.
Fact that small numbers spread out.
Okay, very good. Not that, and that my comment to that was going to be, that's just a bad fishing rod cast. I'm not going to unwind today or this weekend anytime soon. But the next thing that was mentioned was geographical separation, and that is that's a key element. What do we have right now? What are we up to, about 30? How many people are here?
Somewhere around that.
Yeah. And I think we may have had one new person come in today, but I think the way I counted up, there's about 11 households represented in this very small room gathering. And, you know, if you took all those 11 households and between them, they compass an area of three streets or three farm roads, you could build a community out of that for sure. For certain, that would be ideal, actually. But, you know, what if it were over, you know, three towns where there were three, you know, small towns, three country towns? You could probably make a case for that. You know, especially if they were the smaller towns like around here, and everybody was kind of like on the edge of those towns where a community could be tightly knitted together. But what if it were three large cities apart, or even, you know, three counties? You really just couldn't do that. But here in this room with the 11 households, we've got three states, if I've got it correct. I think we have three states represented in this small room gathering. And you can't build community on that. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not doing that to be critical, but I mean, you just can't build community when you've got 10, 12 hours, Ted, is that right? 12 hours of drive time? You can't build community on that. And that is that is definitely in the top three big obstacles that we have to overcome. We have to get back to what the scripture tells us, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves. When we're off in, you know, Nebraska, well, we used to be in Texas, yeah, California, here in Missouri, Arkansas. We're spread out, like one of my favorite movie characters said, too little butter spread over too much bread. So you're not going to get the flavor. But absolutely, there should be ecclesias in all of those areas. But unfortunately, as far as I know, there just isn't. And that's the big problem. So, if the kingdom, I'm sorry, I've lost my track on my notes where I was going with that. But if where you are living currently, if the kingdom citizen population there is just one, and that's you and your household, or maybe it's just you and your family chooses the world, you still have to choose you this day who you're going to serve. Your life, even if it's the only one around, has to be the one that shows you have a king. But not just a king like all the other nations, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what does that look like? So I wanted to share a little bit about our experience, you know, getting to where we are today. So there's some new people here, so a lot of people here know us, some don't. We are not Missourians by birth and by rearing. We are from Texas. Third generation Texan, and you're second generation Texan. This is my wife, Violet, here. And some of you, you know, don't know. We were not born Matthew and Violet, but we were reborn. And we are now Matthew and Violet Kingsmen. Because I am a Kingsman, and that's who I serve now. Just a kind of short summary of that. But we were born and raised Southern Baptist, staunch Southern Baptist, just nothing other than Southern Baptist. I'm going to get off the podium now. She was raised in a very strict, very upright Southern Baptist home. We attended. I was pretty much in church anytime. I used to claim I had a drug problem when I was growing up. Not the smoking or the drinking or anything like that. If church doors were open, my mom drug us to the church, so I had to. And Dad would join from time to time if an evangelist rolled through town, and he was, you know, charismatic enough, and I even witnessed once or twice my dad going down the aisle in tears. But, you know, that was our upbringing. So for 45 years before coming across Ted's messages and Charlie's messages, I had churchianity crammed down my throat. And so, you know, I didn't get to have that 20-some-odd, 30-some-odd, 40 years of understanding that the kingdom is real. So I had all churchianity all my life. She had churchianity all her life. And unfortunately, we didn't get the message in time for, you know, to be able to teach our children that, you know, the kingdom of Christ is real. It's here today. It's for us today. His laws are for us. We had the full meal deal of churchianity. We gave it to them as well. So there was, you know, one bad experience where we were in a mega church. I guess you'd call it a mega church. Houston's full of mega churches. We were just in one of them. And that was kind of the turning point for me. It was the tipping point for me. We were in a situation, a financial situation, where I had been between work for a little bit, and things were pretty tough. So my wife did what you should be able to do in an ecclesia, in a kingdom community. You should be able to have elders, you know, people who are ahead of you, spiritually wiser than you, that you should be able to go to and share and be able to you know, pour your heart on people and get wise counsel. And that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to go and share with a sister and get some encouragement, get some wisdom. What ended up happening was the music director overheard and decided to take matters in his own hand, come pick me up, bring me back to the church, and bring an elder pastor in with him. And basically, you know, instead of trying to encourage me and help me, they basically just kind of gave me the grill and, you know, threatened me with excommunication if I didn't, you know, get my act together. And that was the turning point for me. At that point, in my heart, I knew I still loved Jesus, what I thought was, you know, Jesus that we were worshiping. But at that point, I started to grow a hatred for what, you know, I knew was the church. I hated church, but I loved Jesus. There was a couple of years that went by that we basically just didn't go to church anymore. I did anyway, so she would take them from time to time and still go. But I had left the church, and my brother was already going through some different things, you know, religious transformations of things, and, you know, the charismatic movement, the non-denominational movement. And but he gave me a book called Pagan Christianity, and I'm not promoting that book. It does have some really good information in it, but it was by a man named Frank Viola, and he co-wrote it with a man named George Barna. I'm sure Ted, Charlie, y'all are probably familiar with Barna, correct?
With
the Barna Institute? They're the ones that do all the statistics.
Yeah.
All the different religious.
Chuck Baldwin quotes him all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, that book basically explains why the church looks the way it looks today, starting back from, you know, the early church first century church through Constantine and all that, why the church looks the way it does with all of its rituals, all of its, you know, the different celebrations, why we have, you know, why the church has, you know, holidays that, you know, coincide and are co-mingled with pagan rituals and holidays. So it explained a lot to me, and it kind of started me on that path of knowing that there is something different. There's something better. There's more available than what I've been taught for at that point, you know, 30-some-odd years. And it started my journey going down, constantly asking questions. What is it? What's real? What do you want me to know from this Bible, you know, Lord, Father? Because I'm not getting it. I haven't been getting it, you know, all my church growing up years. And so we started doing, you know, visiting with friends, different non-denominational, spirit-filled churches. We saw the whole gamut. We saw the rolling on the floor. We saw the spirit-filled. We saw, you know, speaking in tongues. We watched pastors grill the men in the church. If you haven't been speaking in tongues in 3 weeks, 13 weeks, some of you haven't been speaking in tongues in 3 years, you need to get right with the Lord. You know, it's like, what in the world? It was scary the first time seeing that kind of thing. Oof. You don't need to pay movies to go see a scary movie. Just go visit a,
Amen.
Pentecostal, whatever. You, they're all out there.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we visited that. We started, you know, doing non-denominational churches. And then, you know, we went through kind of like the end of it where we were doing home churches where, you know, a pastor that we were involved with, basically we kind of left their church that they had set up and kind of started doing home churches. And that was pretty interesting. But the whole point of it is it's all the same. None of it's different. It's all the same thing, just different flavors and stuff. Why? Because they're missing the main point. They're missing the point that the king has already come and that we're supposed to be conforming to his kingdom, not the kingdom of men around us. Because every single one of them are the same thing. The flags waving everywhere, you know, U.S. flags, state flags, you know, promoting obedience to men's laws. Going overboard to the fact of, you know, if the state wants you to do this, you know, who we talked about before, you should be getting two licenses if you can, you know. But that was kind of our background leading up to the point where, you know, I found, you know, if, I don't even remember if it was Ted's message I found first or if it was just somehow that I found out that Israel didn't just die off at the end of the Bible. You know, where is Israel? And it's not the Jews. You know, that was kind of the first thing I found out. It's not the ones over in Israel, the Israelis today, that that everybody wants us to believe is the Israel of the Bible. And then I found, you know, others in Ted's messages about Christian Israel. And then, you know, I had been listening to Ted's messages for about a year. And then finally looked down at the bottom of the email and saw, you know, his broadcast, you know, reminders, and then there it was, you know, Charlie's, and I'd seen it several times, but just, you know, I was here to listen to Ted's message, and so it's after the end of Ted's message one Sunday, I thought, well, who's Charlie? It's on Ted's message, so it must be good, so if Ted's, you know, promoting it, then by golly, I should be listening. So I listened to, I think we were still in the middle of the Matthew 24 series, or not in the middle. You were towards the end of the Matthew 24 series. And, you know, that finding Ted's messages about that God's laws are for us today. They didn't die. They weren't nailed to the cross. That was the part of the throat cramming from churchianity, was that Christ nailed the laws to the cross. So now you're free to go obey man's laws. Their definitions of right and wrong. So that rocked my world and got me to where I was listening to Ted. I was just, you know, I say it all the time, drinking from a fire hydrant. I was listening to his messages every day, all day. And then I find Charlie's messages and get my world rocked another time. And I even emailed Ted. I was like, Ted, what is this? You mean to tell me that Christ is not coming back? What in the world is this about? So this was all in a very short period of time. And the realization that God's laws are for us today and that he's not coming back to fix things, it's our responsibility to conform our lives to fit his kingdom and start obeying his Father's laws is what it's all about. And so we decided together that this is it. This is what our life's culmination has come to. Not that it's over. It's a journey. It's going to keep going. But all of our lives, our struggles, all of our hiccups, all the things where we thought we'd found it, but turned out to be a sour grape, this was it. This, when you come upon truth, you just know it. And this was when we just knew it, that yes, God's laws are for us today. And I was a staunch constitutionalist. I mean, I even took a college course on the Constitution. I have forgotten more about the Constitution than I think a lot of people probably, take credit for knowing. But when I realized that, it did not take long. It was when you hear the truth, you know it, and it's like, okay, that's done. Let's move forward. What is that taking us? What next? Linda, I was where you were on, I think it was either our first, conference we had about a year and a half ago. I asked the exact same question. What next? What do we do? How do I rid myself of this filth? And that's the journey process. And so when we started that process, we were not very popular. And about a year ago, going through the process, going through the scripture, hearing the truths, is when I realized that, the other guy that I had been living as for 45 years at the time, 46 years at the time, whatever it was, I just didn't understand it fully until that moment that he's not there anymore. I am a new creation. I am, the guy that I was for 45 years is not the one operating the ship anymore. And I realized that that they were never going to relent, chasing that man down. They would never give up ownership of him. And I did not want that for my king, because I take that very seriously now, that Christ is my king. He's my literal king. He's not a spiritual king. He's not king of my heart. He is a king of my heart. But he's a king of this land that I walk on. He is the king. And I knew that I wanted to give him something that was untarnished by the world system that I had grown up in, that I had taken responsibility of as my own. And I wanted to give him something that was not tarnished by man's world. And so that's when I changed my name. I know, Ted. I used to have t-shirts when I was a kid. I was so proud of my name. My mom made me t-shirts on the back that, the one and only, insert the name. That was not an easy thing to do. But when I came to the realization of what it meant, it's like now I've been Matthew Kingsman my whole life. And so when somebody, if I were to get confronted again, Matthew Kingsman has never had a Social Security number. Matthew Kingsman has never had a driver's license before. Matthew Kingsman's never taken from their system before. I belong to Christ, my king. And I belong to his government, not yours. And trying to explain this to our family, I mean, they knew what was going on. We started selling everything we owned because we wanted to be around like-minded people. We wanted to be around you people. Now, most of it's here in Missouri, so we figured that was our target location. And so we started preparing them right from the get-go. Look, we're selling everything. You would think that if anything can be done, it could be done in Texas. I mean, my gosh, if Ecclesia needs to be built, by golly, Texas is going to get it done, But you go where the Spirit is already there, and that's what we decided to do. And so we started selling everything, and we bought us a bus, an old school bus, flat nose school bus, and we turned that into our home so that we could be flexible to go where Ecclesia is being built, where people who are like-minded, who have said Christ is king and we're going to live by his laws and we're going to start living in community together, where we take care of each other's needs, where we know that should anything happen, I know that I've got brothers who are going to take care of my wife and my kids. I've got other brothers that can continue showing my son how to be a man. If I'm, you know, something were to happen, whether it be, you know, that I close my eyes for the last time in his body, or they throw this body into one of their cages. That's what's the biggest problem, is that we're too far spread apart. Again, I said that's not the biggest problem. It is definitely one of the top of the list biggest problems we have, is we're too far spread apart. How do we overcome that? Those are big questions. And I'm certainly not trying to pat our own backs or anything like that, but it is an example. We were willing to sell everything and put ourselves in our own ship. The Ark. The kids hate it when we call it the Ark. I don't know why, but they hate it. Everybody else wants to call it the Ark. But it is. It is a typology of what the Bible has always done. Noah built an ark to preserve a remnant that God could build on again. Christ was an ark. You know, his Holy Spirit was the ark. So, we, like I said, it was not popular. And, you know, our own children turned against us. We have four older daughters that are all in their adult years. They even, just before leaving, they even tried to launch a campaign on us to have the state take the kids away from us. So, my mother, you know, one of her line, her, I, funny thing about it is, as time started ticking down, like I said, we gave them plenty of time, a year almost, that this was coming. And yet, of course, it always happens, you know, nobody ever takes you seriously until it starts becoming obvious that the time is ticking down, this is about to happen. And then you start having those come to Jesus conversations with people, you know, the come to Jesus meetings. And so my mom's kind of parting line to me was, you know, as I tried to just take that one, it's not the last, we'll always be able to have some more conversations, but at that point in time, it seemed like the last kind of ditch effort to help her understand what we're doing, where we're going with this, what the Bible is trying to tell us. And she just said, but son, there's always been men leading. There's always been rulers. There's always kings. There always will be kings and rulers. And all I could tell her was, well, Mom, show me that in the Bible. Quit telling me what you've learned. Show me in the Bible where we're supposed to have kings like all the other nations. Can't you just comply? Come on, honey. Can't you just for a little bit so you can get through this trial? Just comply? How are you going to work without a license? How are you going to get around and drive without a license? My in-laws. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I apologize. I probably should have warned you ahead of time that this was going to get a little, you know, deep, but I'm hoping maybe to bring it up at the end here. But just as an encouragement that, like we said, it's not going to be a bed of roses. It can be. Some people don't have to go through this. It depends on the situation, but it's not always going to be a bed of roses. You're not going to be popular when you try to go across the grain from what church unity has, you know, presented over the landscape for centuries now. My in-laws, for 27 years now, is that how long we've been married? 28 years now? I loved my in-laws. I never had those horrible in-law stories that a lot of people I hear from. If we got into a little bit of a bicker back and forth thing, my mother-in-law, now Lisa, I'm sorry, Lisa was my wife's former name, that is your husband, and you need to respect him. She always took my side. So, point is I loved my in-laws. Now, my father-in-law was a little... My father-in-law was a little more, you know, obstinate to me, but my mother-in-law was, she was always a champion for me, but at the end there, they wanted her to divorce me and come back home. My brother, my best friend my entire life, man, I thought, how many times, Charlie, have I told you, my brother's right there, Charlie, he's right there, man, I'm telling you, he might even get here with us, you know? My own brother, come find out that he just never had the courage to confront me. He just was kind of going along to keep getting along. He didn't, in his words, I didn't have enough knowledge to confront you or to challenge you, is what he said. But there are these things called questions. You could ask those. Point is that family's going to turn on you. Can turn on you. Doesn't necessarily mean they will. But what encouraged me was Matthew 12:46-50. And I apologize, I didn't bring my Bible phone up here with me. If whoever can get to that will quote it for me. I could probably paraphrase it pretty well, but I'd rather just read it. Does anybody else want to read it? I'm more than willing to let somebody else read it if you'd like to. Version is this?
CSB.
Okay. I'm so used to the King James now. That's okay. But he replied to the one, so this is Christ. Of course, I'm sure most of you know the background here. He's in a home, and I believe he's in a home, and he's teaching. And his mother and his brothers came. Why they weren't following at the time, I don't know. That's probably the point of this. But they came and they couldn't get through the crowd and sent somebody to tell him, hey, we're here, we'd like to see you. So, but Christ replied to the one who told him. He said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, here is my mother and my brother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother. So I've got new brothers. Jerry, thank you. Charlie, Ted, Chris, I know you and I are going to get to spend more time together. Thank you. And of course, Michael. Michael and I get to spend a lot of phone time and emailing back and forth now. That's... sounds weird to say. Those are my mothers, my brothers, and my sister. That just doesn't sound right. But anyway, Christ said it so I can say it. The point is that, yeah, it can get ugly. You weren't raised in the kingdom like Charlie and Teresa got to raise their kids in the kingdom. Chris, I know y'all's family, you know, I don't know how to best describe it, but y'all got a good portion of what, you know, it was a different life, let's put it that way, than what, you know, a status churchianity family would be raised. Those kind of things. So it's not going to be the easiest thing, but you still have to choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, but what does that look like? Ted, it's a growing experience, isn't it? We have these obstacles we have to get over. But we've been in the New Covenant age now for, I'm going way off my notes now. We've been in the New Covenant Kingdom age now for roughly 2,000 years now. Yes, there are obstacles. But what are the biggest obstacles? What is the biggest obstacle standing in the way of a small group of people who understand that Christ is King, He's fulfilled all the prophets, And he ushered in a new age where he's defeated everything. And we don't have to do those works for sanctification and justification anymore. We have that in him. And all that has to happen is a choice be made, and we choose daily to continue to pick up our cross. What does that look like? It's going to look different for a lot of us, but it has a lot of the same principles. We have to be together. We have to choose Christ as our King, and we have to serve him and not other men. That's the simple answer. But it's a lot more complicated. I think those are the things that we're going to see. Probably, if I'm looking forward to seeing hearing the rest of your messages today, that's, I think, what we're going to be looking at. There are obstacles, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it is an exciting time. I've never been so excited in my entire life. I feel I'm 47.
Are we 47?
Yeah, I'm 47.
What did your mother tell you? What?
I think I'm somewhere around
here. Yeah. But I feel, well, I don't know, after working a hard day with Jerry, I feel like I'm 57. But every day now, I feel more like I'm in my 20s and early 30s now. I have never been so excited in my entire life. I'm
a new man.
I'm a new man. That's right. These are exciting times. And living in the kingdom, I think another thing, too, is that I'm not using the word saved anymore. I'm not sure I'm not claiming a theology, but I'm just saying I think salvation, and don't get me wrong, this generation needs salvation. Absolutely, we need salvation. But I think when we read about salvation in the Bible, that was literal, that they were going to be saved from an impending doom that they were going to see, as Christ said. Some of you will still be alive and see this. But they were reborn into the kingdom. Christ talked all the time about being reborn. The kingdom will belong to these, such as these little ones. We have to be reborn. I think that's what, in the New Covenant Kingdom Age, is what our outlook and our goal is to be reborn. And when you're reborn, yeah, I'm still a full-grown man now. But spiritually, mentally, I'm like a baby now at the scriptures. I read scriptures now, it's like I've never seen them before in my life. And I know I've seen them dozens and dozens of times. But it's because I have a new perspective that this has all been fulfilled. It's all been done. And I love it, and I say it all the time now. Not understanding that not one single word was written to me or about me, but every single word there is for me to learn from and to be the one to 2 Timothy, 2:15, right? Is it right? To study, to show myself approved, and to learn from the new perspectives that I have with this. What is God telling us to do? What are our new marching orders? Simple. Go preach the kingdom. And you got to live the kingdom to preach the kingdom. So yes, we have obstacles. Absolutely, we have obstacles. You look around and you would have to be blind, Sam, but more than blind. You'd have to be blind and dumb to see that we do not have major pitfalls and obstacles in front of us. Much of it due to what I know now to be the real problems, the real obstacles, and that is we have got to find a way to break into. And Charlie, I know you and Ted both have been trying to do this for 30 and 40 years, to break into the churchian's mind. Break down the strongholds. Take hold of every thought captive. It can be done because I'm living testimony. She's living testimony that it can be done, that churchians can be reached. Jerry and I talk a lot. And there are so many times I'm just like, I'll tell them, I'm done with churches. I'm so done with it. I just want to go talk to atheists now. It would be so much more simple and probably more fruitful to just go find somehow a group of atheists and start preaching to them and telling them, hey, you know, everything that you complain about and criticize the church for, you're right. That'll get their attention. You're right. They are idiots. Why? Because they can't see the word right in front of them and take it for what it says. I certainly couldn't. Why? Because I was duped by the churchmen who, you know, either they're doing it deliberately or they're just dumb dogs themselves and they just are regurgitating what they were taught. But they can be reached, and we have to continue reaching them. They have to. If you could ever take a product from Hollywood and use it for good, it's the movie The Matrix. And Jerry, we still have to have our bro get together one night, and Corbin and some other guys, and watch Matrix, since you haven't seen it probably. But The Matrix is so succinct. Of course, it's done in a mystical way, but it is so succinct on, you could paint so many, take it and paint so many images. Anyway, you may want to do. You can take so many cases from, clips from the movie and apply it straight to the kingdom and be able to relate to someone who's, a younger crowd or, who is definitely not, what's the word? They're not the church type. But, they're definitely, into the technology world and all that. But you can show them this and tell them that, this is exactly what we're going through. The whole rent, if you've never seen it, you probably are familiar with some different, cultic, memes from it, such as the red pill, blue pill. Is anybody not familiar with the red pill, blue pill scenario? Okay, that's where it came from. So, but the point is that these people can be reached, there's tools available, and yes, Charlie, I'm going to start a podcast. It's not going to be just me. Michael T. and I have already been talking about it, and I'm in the stages right now of trying to figure out how to get it done, so Sam, that's why I'm trying to pick your brains about it.
Feel free to contact me anytime.
All right. I'll take you up on that. And I don't know, I won't throw him under the bus, but somebody else is probably going to join us, or maybe not. He kind of has ideas of his own he wants to run with too, but we want to do a podcast that might be a little edgy, so I don't know. We'll have to talk about that, Sam. We want to shake things up, with that world. We want to ruffle their feathers.
Which is fine with me.
Yeah.
So you don't have to talk to me about that. I know it'll be good.
Yeah.
He'll play that thing before you. It's going to hurt your feelings like it does me every time I hear it. This radio station does not necessarily. That hurts my feelings, Sam.
CYA stuff. Huh?
That's all it is, yeah.
Yeah. But that's coming up, and we'll definitely keep you apprised of that progress. But I'm putting myself out on the floor now, so y'all can take me to account for it. It's definitely coming. We want to do things like, and probably a lot of it is based off the fact that we don't have ecclesia or kingdom community now, where we have the opportunity to see each other on a daily or at least every other day basis, to where we can just talk things out. But we want to do things like talk about Ted's messages. We want to talk about Charlie's messages. Figure out how to do that, whether it's right after the message or a day or two later or something like that. Probably better to be able to kind of rehash through it and take notes and stuff like that. But we want to do things like that. We want to bring guests on. We want to bring Charlie and Ted on. We want to bring Sam on. We want to bring other people on for the purpose that, at least from my perspective, it's hard for people to see that the kingdom is growing when they only hear a couple of different voices promoting it. When they can see something, some kind of a broadcast that brings on, a new person every other day or so, or every week, that's promoting the kingdom life now, that helps promote a perspective that the kingdom is advancing, and it is advancing. I would certainly like to see it advancing quicker than it is, but it is advancing. So, like I said, I went way off my notes from where I thought I was going to end up.
See, you didn't need that notebook after all.
See, Sam, you inspired me.
We're all among friends here. It's all good.
I'll have to confess that I thought, you know, because I never saw your left hand, I thought maybe you were up here reading Braille some notes or something like that, you know. But I just want to look at them real quick.
That's an invisible Braille, by the way.
Yeah, that's, there's really nothing here on my notes that I don't think I covered, but that's the main point, is that the rebirth has to happen, and from the rebirth, we grow. And that's where certainly we are, my family, myself. I'm constantly having to get encouragement because I get down on myself because I didn't know this, or I did this not knowing that, you know, this was the better choice, or I'm always having to ask for forgiveness. So, but that's part of it. Other than that, I think I'm done with this message. Thank y'all.
Sometimes for people that might be new to hearing some of the things we're talking about, they'll hear things like, you know, several times it's been said, license, license, license. And and people, you know, talk about, I mean, they'll say responses like, it's just a license. It's just a piece of paper. It's just, it doesn't really mean much. But the point that I try to get people to see is, He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The king did not tell us to go make contracts, which is what they are, with other governments. So you might think that it's just a license. It's just a piece of paper. It's just an insignificant document. But the reality is whose voice are we listening to? Did the voice of our king tell us to go join up with a system called Social Security? That did not come from the voice of our king. That was a strange voice. So these are not insignificant little things. These are very, very serious things. So when people say things like that to me, you know, someone talked about planting seeds. It was Sam. Sam talked about planting seeds. My problem is I've lived this way for so long, I expect that I can just share this with somebody one time and they get it just like that. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. But I want to say to people, okay, if these are all insignificant little things that don't matter, then pick up the word and show me where in the scripture that the voice that we're supposed to be listening to has told us to live like everybody else in the world does. They could care less. They don't care what we say when we get together in our little four walls. They don't care what we say. But when we leave the four walls and go out into the highways and the hedges, which he owns, by the way, don't let someone try to tell you that the state owns the roads. That is baloney. Christ made it very clear when he was here, I own the highways and the hedges. Well, we built them. Okay, you built them. Where did you get the materials? Okay, he owns them. So, okay, I want to do this just a little bit differently this time. Trying, if you want to get up and you got to go to the bathroom or whatever, just do it, okay? If you need a drink of water, just do it, okay? But does anybody have any questions for Matthew?
I do.
Yes, Linda, go ahead.
On your bus, so did you have experience building beforehand?
A bus or just in general?
No, I mean turning it into the home. Because I thought of this myself, like just a little van and refitting it. Because it's just me.
We went to the master of all things.
Yeah. which I've watched, and I was like, well, I see all these people, so how much did it cost?
That's the beautiful thing about it. I think she'll probably correct me if I'm wrong, but including the bus and things that went into the bus and building materials. And what?
Still to be good enough.
And still to be good enough. Was it 30?
Around 27.
27,000.
And I don't need a bus.
What's that?
I don't need a bus.
Oh, yeah.
That was about six.
You know, of course, in the middle of the process, you know, it came up several times. Why didn't you just buy an RV? And there were times where I was like, why didn't I just buy an RV? But, I mean, you're a married couple, you've got two teenage, two young adults who are, you know, going to be spending the last few years with you, and then, well, however long that's going to be. An RV is probably just not going to cut it for what we wanted. So, and we really wanted a kitchen, not just a kitchen.
Exactly.
You know, we've got a king size bed. Once you've gone a king size, you don't go back. And how do you get a king size bed into a, you know, an RV? I guess they do it. But the point is that we wanted certain things back. She wanted certain things. And so, you know, the bus was the way to go. And plus, like I said, even if, you know, we got the RV close to what we wanted, it was not, I mean, comfortably $80,000. $60,000 maybe below me. So as you can see, we spent, you know, a third of that. But I mean, yes, I guess a jack of all trades kind of guy. So I've done a lot of things, but I've never cut a bus in half and raised it 21 inches. So
I've seen you do that.
Well, but we did it together, and it was a glorious experience. So she's gotten to learn how to weld. So
your wife welds?
No, my daughter.
Oh, that is awesome. There you go.
So
maybe you can teach Charlie.
So, like, what's your occupation? What are you doing as far as income?
That's a good question. It was actually one of the points I was going to talk about in the notes that I went off of. Straight from was, you know, I think that's a lot of hang-ups for people who, you know, might consider doing this kind of thing, is that, well, what would we do for income? I mean, I'm a secretary, I'm a salesman, I'm a whatever, you know, corporate job they have, I don't know how to do anything. I mean, how can we make money and not, you know, sign W-9 forms and stuff like that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was a little easier for me because I have done so many things in my life. I grew up in the country. We built things.
That's who told you that, yes, not me.
Sorry, you're right. So I did kind of have a little step up in that regards. But YouTube, I've seen people over and over again, you know, the schooling realm, you know, where they've left their corporate jobs and now most of them aren't doing, you know, they're doing some kind of online thing, you know. But I've seen some where the husband, you know, they'll get into town and he'll hit Craigslist and start doing gigs or, you know, do handyman stuff. You know, he's got an underbelly thing for his tools. So, I mean, whatever, wherever you find yourself, there's got to be a way to earn money that can be done.
Have you missed any meals?
No. Not intentionally.
Well, your daughter.
I mean, your daughter answered.
She said no.
Yeah.
So you are supporting your family now without a quote license. Mm-hmm. Are you still using the Social Security number?
No.
Using a bank account?
No.
God's meeting your needs?
Yes.
It's amazing how that works. Just amazing. Linda, in your situation, I've been thinking a lot because you've been asking me about the practical things.
Right.
You know, you might be surprised. You might be floored if you went to where you're working now and you told the guy, you said, look, I'm a follower of Christ and I just cannot live with them taking taxes from my labor. Would you consider paying me in cash? Mm. And most people would say, there is no way in the world. You might be shocked. You might be shocked, especially in this day and age, if you said, you know what? I have another job opportunity where someone's going to pay me in cash. Okay, these people can't get enough people to work right now.
Right.
You might be surprised. The problem is we, the first time someone tells us no, it's like that's the end of it. And it's like the door closes and, you know, that's the end of it. But you know what? It could very well have been the Father himself closing the door to see if you'd go knock on another one. You know, I mean, Jerry, do you work with a social security number?
No.
Do you work with a license?
No.
Do you work with a bank account?
No.
Okay. Are your needs being met?
Absolutely.
Do you have more money than you've ever had in your life right now?
Yep.
Okay. You know.
Can I hang around with you?
Yeah, that's really cool because, Tyler, do you work with a social security number?
No.
Do you work with a driver's license?
No.
Do you have tags on your car?
No.
You do too?
Well, I own tags.
What, I mean, whose tags are they? Where's your citizenship with? Are your needs being met?
Yes.
How old are you?
27.
Do you have your own house?
Yeah.
Is it paid for?
Yeah.
Do you have your own land?
Yeah.
How much?
48.
Oh, is that land paid for?
Yeah.
Huh. Do you have cattle? Do you have sheep?
Yeah.
Do you have a garden?
Yeah.
You've managed to do all of that without a social security number, without a driver's license, without tags on your car.
Yeah, pretty
That's amazing. Pretty amazing. Who is responsible for that?
God and grace of His grace.
No question about it. Chris, your turn. Well, you now have your own baby.
Yeah, I'm now a dad.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, but I'll just tell you a little bit of my story. So we were working out of state building sheds for a corporation in the United States of America, and we did it for a long time, where there was, you know, we were working, my brother, and he had, you know, the driver's license that was getting us there. But he got married, got kids, he stayed home, so there's about 2 years that all the money was still going through his name, and it came to the point where he was like, we're done with this. So I, no driver's license, no bank account, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I called the guy we were working for, and I told him that he's going to have to figure out a way to pay me, or we're not going to be able to travel the roads and do his work for him. And I went to Charlie. We made a Commonwealth of Digital ID that I took to his bank. And I've cashed hundreds of thousands of dollars out of the banks that he does business with a Commonwealth of Digital ID. And all that took was him to go into his bank and say that I wrote this guy a check, and I've cashed thousands of dollars of cash. Now, Tyler works with this, you know, I handle most of the money, but some, a lot of it's in cash. I've cashed checks from lots of different people. And the first time that I walked into the bank, they said, oh, we can't do that. And I had a $3,000 check in my hand, and you know, this was the first time I went into the bank to cash one of their checks, and you know, the lady that came to me said, oh, you know, we can't cash a check. Because Jeff had called them and said that I would be coming in. And they were like, well, we decided we're going to let you take this check back to your bank. And I said, I don't have a bank. I said, they cash their checks that I bring to them. And so they're like, well, can you come back tomorrow? She said, we're going to make some phone calls. We're going to come back tomorrow. And, you know, with that, I came back the next day. They cashed every check I ever took to them. So.
You didn't give up because you heard a no one time.
So, the first thing you have to do in life, and it's anything, if you're a person who takes no, you're going to be at the bottom of the barrel. You got to be willing to work. You got to be willing to stand up a little bit, and you'll get more. So it can be done. It may not be easy. You may, you know, but it can be done. You know, he also didn't file 1099s on us because I said, you know, I don't have what he needed. And I don't know what he did to get around that, but he's a, you know, He's got everything that there ever is to run a business. They do bonding, but you know, we work for him. He came to us one day and was like, would you get insurance? And I said, I don't see how that's possible. And he said, well, would you at least talk to my insurance company, you know, because he had undergone an insurance audit. So I went and talked on the phone with his insurance company. It got to the point where his social security number came up. And I said, well, I don't have one. They're like, well, how do you do your taxes? I said, well, I said, I do what I have to do. And so that was the last time I ever heard anything about that. But we quit putting up buildings for the guy, but it was just because I became a dad and I decided I wasn't going to do that life. So it didn't close because that door closed. And we just turned around and we do the same thing. And we work with people all the time that have that stuff. But you know, that's not what I have.
We talked yesterday about you know, the fact that Teresa and I don't have a marriage license. So when they declared war on me, they couldn't touch her. Because there was no, they call it nexus. There was no nexus there. When you do work for people and they tell you that they're going to 1099 you, okay? Here's how you handle that. If you give me a 1099, I will no longer do work for you. Now, if you have made yourself very valuable to them, they don't care about, they want their work done. They want their work done right. They are willing to work on your terms if you are valuable enough to them. That's been my experience for 40 years. Yeah, Chris?
A little side note. When I was repping for a company, this was probably about 10, 15 years ago, and they sent me commission checks and called me up and said, I need to get your business ID number or your social security number and so on and so forth for your 1099. I don't have one. They said, you don't have one? I said, no, I don't have one. Well, how do you live without it? I said, very well, thank you, but I don't have one. He says, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. And make a long story short, after about a 10-minute conversation, he said, well, I guess we'll just have to do it the other way. What's that? He said, we'll just send it in without Social Security number.
Yeah. And you know what?
By the way, I never heard from those nasty people about that.
Just sure. Because they have to have that number. It has to have the number. Do you know what the fine is for a business that doesn't 1099 someone? They could just refuse not to give a 1099, which is more than likely what he chose to do. You know, there is a fine for that.
It's
$50.
Oh my gosh, pay the $50.
I've told people before that, and it's not happened very often, but you know, if you get a fine for not issuing a 1099, I'll give you the $50 back.
Well, you don't have to. They offer them a payment program.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll give you a dollar for the next 50 years. So, but so many times I've talked to people and they've said, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that if I didn't do this. And my response is, well, I guess we'll never know. But yeah, you can. Oh, but Charlie, things aren't the way they were when you were young. Well, I agree. I mean, things are worse now than they were. I admit that. But my children never missed a meal. My wife never missed a meal. We didn't eat steak every night. In fact, we rarely ate steak. But we didn't miss meals.
That's our whole
homes were paid for. Cars were paid for. The clothes and... Yeah, we did. Our father took care of us.
As a matter of fact, my cash situation, I didn't look for it. It came to me.
Your what?
Cash.
Cash, yeah.
Paid cash situation.
Yeah. And of course, now we hear all the time that they're the assault on cash and they're going to, you know, trying to get away. Okay. He'll provide something else. There's always going to be a ram in the bush. Always. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation being, just go ahead and join up with the world. That's the easy way to do it. That's the temptation. But if we resist the temptation, God is what?
Faithful.
And most people go through life and never are able to experience the faithfulness of God because they've never taken the step. They march right up to a door and knock on that door and there's no answer, or they're told no, and that shuts them down. That's pretty much the end of it. But that's not what we're supposed to do, because we are supposed to be overcomers. What is an overcomer? Someone who's told no and he figures out how to make it yes. That's what overcomers do. And we are to overcome what?
The world.
The world. Wow, that's pretty good stuff. And we've gone through the room and talked about the... Hey, Jeff, now, wait just a minute. We didn't pick on you yet. This time last year, I don't remember exactly what it was, you didn't have a driver's license, you had a CDL.
Classic.
And you were driving trucks for a living. And you got up in front of the whole group. I didn't know you were doing this. You got up in front of the whole group and had a pair of shears this big and cut that thing apart and laid it around so everybody could see it. Now, I'm suspecting that since that time, you've probably lost about 50 pounds. You've been kicked out of your apartment because you couldn't pay the rent. You've had all kinds of trouble. Is that correct?
Gained 50 pounds. none of those things. I'll just go ahead and tell a brief story of, you know, I had been sitting on the bench for a lot of years, and you know, waving my pom poms, go, you guys, go, you're doing great, woohoo, knowing that I needed to get in the game. And that young fella over there, Mr. Jerry, he knew the same, that he had to get off the bench and on the field. And when he did, you know, he was out there knee deep saying, hey, I could do some help out here. And my biggest concern was work. What am I going to do with my hands? Right now I'm driving, and when I cut that thing up, I know I'm not going back to work the next day. And Jerry was really the bump on my back end that got me to move, because he was going to provide some work. The Lord had provided him work, and there was room to work with Jerry. That's all I needed, you know. And so cutting that thing up and just taking a step on the field, you're in the game. You're in the game, go. You don't have to sit and cheer for others. You know, you want to hear people cheer for you, but nonetheless, being in the kingdom way is a lot easier than I thought it'd be, because he provides. When I look to him, he provides. When Peter looked to the Lord, you know, he was walking on the water. When he took his eyes off, glug, glug, glug. So keeping my eyes on the Lord is, you know, day in and day out, moment to moment, just like it is for you. Was there a question? I don't know what
you're saying. Yeah, you're in your early 30s, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
So there's things ahead of me that I don't know the answers to, but I know who has the answers, and he's given me today. And you know, why worry about those problems coming at 65, you know, when you get to sit on the bench again? Those are problems that I don't know that I'll even have to be worried about. It's not a problem I'm worried about. He's got the answer. And, of course, us living in Ecclesia answers some of those questions, because we are helping each other. We are providing for each other. And when we see God's plan generationally do the things it's supposed to do, you know, there's questions that we never have to answer. What am I going to do about, you know, this income that's not there anymore? Well, it'll be there. So, and Eric, hello, Eric. You think you can just come in here unannounced? Hello, Eric. How you doing? Good to see you.
You're good.
Good. Come in.
Can I sit?
Yes, you can come in anywhere. Good to see you, buddy.
So, you know, you're in your early 30s, so you've got a long time before you have to worry about being 70 or something.
Sure.
But, you know, when you get 70, 75, you start really slowing down, God's going to just completely forsake you, and he's not going to take care of you and meet your needs any longer. So we really, really need this system called Social Security, because God can't take care of us when we're too old. So,
you know. Throw them under Matthew's bus.
Yeah. There was some talk that went around.
He provides a meal in the desert. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there was some talk that went around after one of our meetings that Charlie's trying to tell everybody that they have to move to Missouri. And I've never said that one time. I have never said that. Thank you for showing the agreement, because you've heard me as much as anybody, and I've never said it.
It was our choice.
I've said that there's got to be ecclesias everywhere, scattered all over the ground. But there's not. There isn't. And so I've just said that, you know, for those who, you know, are desiring ecclesia and are like-minded, maybe we need to consider just, you know, getting ourselves together. And, you know, then, because I still think that once ecclesia begins and he then does what he says he was going to do, in that the gates of hell won't prevail, then, you know, then maybe it will catch on in other areas and, you know, snowball thing. But the thing is when we live this way, and Linda, I told you yesterday, you know, you go do this. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I have never once had a random encounter with one of their blue and red lights and then ended up in jail. Not once has that ever happened. But I'm not going to tell you that if you took the steps of faith, you might not get out of Lawrence County before you found yourself in jail. I'm not going to say that, because it is a very real possibility. And so, but he touched on it. Even if we're scattered, if we are scattered, one person here, one person there, 500 miles apart, we individually have got to live in the kingdom of Christ. We have to live, we have to follow the voice of the shepherd and not listen to the voice of the world. And it may be that, you know, you're scattered, you're by yourself, you might be in jail, and there might not be anybody to take care of where you're living. You might spend 60 days in there and you come out and you have nothing left. But here's a passage of scripture. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And the question is, do we believe that? Now, what is faith? Faith is your system of belief. And this is what the scripture tells us. Now, the question is, are we willing to trust that faith, that system of belief? That's one of the reasons why I'm a one-trick pony. Maybe three. Fulfilled Bible prophecy, ecclesia. And this is why. Because I believe this. I believe this. If there were 100 of us living in the same general area, okay, they've got overcrowding problems in their jails now. They're not going to throw every one of us in there. They don't have room for us.
There's one thing about the word ecclesia. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, it was translated as congregation. You know, and you can be Israel anywhere in the world, but you didn't have a congregation of Israel anywhere but in the nation where God placed it. That's where the congregation, where the assembly of Israelites was. And so, if we want God's people to assemble into the congregation, the ecclesia, we have to get together.
That's it.
And
forsake not the assemblies of yourselves together. That is a political, national term. is what that means.
We can be Israel individually, but we'll never have the congregation, the assembly, the judgment, the judges without assembling. No need for
right.
it. We got to be where we can hold each other accountable and minister to one another and commune.
And if we're not in congregation, then we still have to live according to the kingship of Christ. And it's a lot easier being together than it is being scattered. Look who just showed up. Hi, Harold, Sharon.
Hi.
Really glad to see you. Paula snuck in on us this morning. Tyler snuck in on us this morning. Eric just came. It's great to see all of you. Okay, anybody else have any questions for Matthew?
I have a question for Matthew. I did want to, something I didn't, get to in my notes was, if you do this, do it. Don't haphazard it. If, just like the commercial said, what's in your wallet? If what is in your wallet, if you've got in your wallet anything else that does pertain to their world, or in my case, an old identity and their world, and I have Commonwealth identification in my wallet, it might as well be just a Cracker Jack decoder card. It's worthless.
What you've done is you have taken on the role of one of the seven silly sons of Sceva, who, when they tried to say, I'm living under the authority of Jesus, they got ripped to shreds because they weren't. They were talking the talk, but the authority wasn't there, and they got ripped to shreds. So, yeah, this is make the decision and don't turn back. Whoever puts his hand to the plow, what? Doesn't turn back is what the scriptures say. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. And we don't go back. They kept saying, just accept the name. Just accept the name. Now, if I would have accepted the name that they were saying, I promise you, I would not be here right now. I would be in their prison right now. And if I would have gone back to that name, I will promise you this. I would never open that book again. If I had capitulated, I'd never open it again.
Glass of water.
Yeah, please.
And that's not worth it. What's it matter if you gain the whole world, lose your own soul? All right, anybody else have anything for Matthew? Boy, that was almost like an auction. Chris scratched his ear, and I'm like, oh, that
What do you mean $100?
Okay, Jeff says that lunch is going to be ready. You change your mind now?
Not at one, but when it's ready, I'll tell you.
Okay, when it's ready, he'll tell us. So stay close. All right, somebody close out this meeting in prayer for us, will you? Close this out for us.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to stand here and wait until someone
does.
Thank
you so much.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Close us.
Father, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your provision, your watch care. We also thank you for this food. We ask you, bless it, Father, and our time together, Father. We love you. We love your Son, Christ. King. We ask this in his authority. Amen.
Amen.
Do what?
You don't have your cane.
Okay. Let me get your cane for you. Yeah, hang on. Let me get out of this first.